We've been talking about seasons, and there is no doubt that God created seasons and times. And nobody will say that you don't know that God created seasons and times. There are seasons in the life of a man, and there are also seasons for a nation. There are seasons too for the church. There are seasons for children. So everybody has a season. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." So the question is, what should our attitude be like? And I would say our attitude should be like in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worldly and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil." My season will differ from your own season. Even in a family, you have father, mother, children. Each person has their own season. And you just have to understand what is supposed to happen around your season. We could have a common season in a family and in a nation, but may have different effect on us. We are going through trials or troubled times as a nation. But the way it affects you may be different, and it depends on your understanding of the season. Even in a family, you may have a common season going on at the same time for everyone, but the way it affects everybody is different. Because God has a purpose for everyone for every particular season. And you must appropriate that purpose in your life. I have some questions here that I would like us to ponder on. And the questions are, what is God's mind and plans concerning a particular time or season that you find yourself in? How does God see those times and seasons? If you must know the mind of God concerning any season, then it means that there must be a relationship between you and God. Hearing the voice of God and understanding the leading of the Holy Spirit has not been simple because of excessive noise around us and within us. In recent times, sometimes human wisdom and knowledge counter and suppresses the voice of God within us. It is sometimes equated to the voice of God. You know, we have an explosion of knowledge, and the dividing line between some of this knowledge with the voice of God is very thin. Sometimes God will even speak with us. I mean, some messages may be particular to us. We could generalize it, and we believe that it is for everybody. So, depending on the knowledge you have, and we are going to Well, I'm trying to build up because I want to get to a particular point. The next question is, do you know what season you are in your life today? So just ponder on it. What season are you in? The worst thing the enemy can do to anybody is to cause you to be blind to your season. Blind, deaf, and dumb. If the enemy succeeds in making you to be blind, deaf, and dumb for your season, you are almost finished. Because you will not know what is happening. And you will not be able to appropriate the mind of or the wisdom of God or the word of God concerning that particular season that you are blind of. You don't even know what is happening. So the enemy can toss you around if you don't know anything about the season in which you are in. And if you don't know anything about that season, I can tell you that lives could be wasted and businesses destroyed because you don't know the mind of God concerning that season. Even families could be destroyed. I have a friend, and they got married before us. She told me that their challenge started 1 month after the marriage. And for almost 27 years, it was from one problem to the other until they divorced. And we all know that God hates divorce. So what happened when it was her season to find a man? Or when it was a season to find a man? What were the factors that he considered before entering into that relationship? So even concerning the issues of marriage, you cannot just take it lightly that, okay, it is love. They say love is blind. And other people say marriage is an eye-opener. So when you enter, you will know whether it is blind or not. If you don't know anything about your season, you will behave anyhow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." That God gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. If you cannot differentiate between your seed and your bread, you will likely eat both your seed and your bread. And you start going back to God again. Bread are meant for us to eat, while seed are meant for sowing. And if you sow one seed, you will definitely not get that seed back. So you should understand, when God is giving you resources, those resources, are they meant for bread or as seed? Because I have observed over time that a lot of elderly people that will help or that ask for help, if you go back to their youthful days, when they were in season, they ate everything, and they are now at the mercies of people. There was no seed sown for their future. So when God is blessing you now, it is not the time for you to go on a wasteful spending. Because God has a reason. On Sunday, I think the pastor was talking about Pharaoh's dream and how Joseph interpreted the dream. And during the course of interpretation, Joseph made a suggestion. We'll have 7 years of plenty, and then we'll have 7 years of want. So the only way to resolve this is because God unveiled the truth about the dream that there are going to be two seasons, one season for plenty, the other one for lack. Now, if you find yourself in that situation and you don't even know the interpretation of what God is telling you, you will abuse the days of plenty. And when the days of lack come, it will storm you like an armed robber. May we never be blind to our seasons. May God open our eyes of understanding concerning our seasons so that we'll take right decisions. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 to 3, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you know, or you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret appearances of the sky, but you cannot interpret signs of the time." I will cast our minds back to 2020. There were a lot of projections, but we did not know that we were going to a season of rest. A lot of projections. Nobody could say that something was going to happen that was going to affect the world and everybody would be at rest. Even if you did not want to be at rest, the government was going to force you to be at rest. They even said we should not have more than 50 people in a church. And those who went were arrested and we were ridiculed. And during that period, I was telling my wife that if the rapture takes place and you don't find yourself going, the Antichrist will know how to handle you. Because it was like a test rehearsal of what the Antichrist could do. Once they say, "Don't move," they can create a plague like COVID-19, spread it, and you'll be forced. Not those of us seated here. God will not allow us to miss the rapture. In Jesus' name. It will be a terrible thing if we miss the rapture. God will help us to live a godly life according to his precepts. Praise the Lord. I will say that discernment is a deep and clear understanding of the truth, a spiritual sense that only the Holy Spirit gives you to interpret whatever is happening. We know that the Bible talks about the sons of Issachar, that they understood what? The times. So if you understand the times, what will make you to take wrong decisions? If you don't know what is happening around you, I will I will give you my story, and maybe you will understand. I come from a very terrible family. Terrible not in the sense that my family is wicked, but I come from a very, very, very poor family. Extremely poor. We live in a two-room compound. Let me not say face me or face you now. It's a compound. And we are seven children. Daddy and mommy. Daddy and mommy sleeps in the other room, while we, seven of us, sleep in one room. And that one room is not even as big as our sitting room today. I gave my life to Christ. I was a little bit bothered. On two occasions, I wanted to commit suicide. But I had already given my life to Christ. The first one was to take drug in excess and die. I said, God, we know that I killed myself, and that will mean going to hell. So I now got a very, very good idea that God will not understand. And that good idea was that I would just run into the main road and a vehicle would just kill me and I would die. Praise the Lord. You see how the devil was using poverty to manipulate my life, even though I was a Christian. In fact, I have never sat on a WC before in my life. What we had was a pit toilet. The best one that we have used was when we were staying in the cantonment. That is the one that looks like pit toilet. So I went to my uncle's place, my mommy's cousin, and he was staying in a self-contained, and I needed to use the toilet. Then I entered, I saw this thing. What? So how will I do this thing now? I was seriously pressed, but I didn't know what to do. So I climbed the thing. That is what poverty can do in one's life. It's a terrible thing. I did it the first time, I was not comfortable. And I could not ask questions because it was going to be a terrible shame if I did not know how to use the toilet. So the next time I stood, I said maybe it was through standing. So I stood and I did it again. It was not comfortable. So I just concluded that maybe you sit on it. And I sat. It was not comfortable because we don't sit on anything. The pit is there. Praise the Lord. One day, I said I was frustrated with life, and I told my father that I must locate a particular uncle. He did NCE. So I thought, at least if I go closer to him, he was going to help me out. I didn't know that he was already sacked, my father's younger brother. So when I got to our hometown, I was told that he was staying in another place. I was around 17 years old. One of my uncles who volunteered to take me there said I was going to pay his transport. Uncle. And by the time I got to that place, and they told me about that my uncle, my father's younger brother, NCE holder, probably like 35 years ago, You know what he was doing? They took me to the market. They say he was in the market. He carried wheelbarrow and was helping people to carry yams. Then I knew that I was already in a big trouble. I couldn't stay with him because he didn't even encourage me to stay with him. And he now said I was going to pay his transport to take me to his senior sister where I would stay, 17 years old. I paid the transport, we went there. When we got to the place, we trekked for like 1.5 hours before we got to the village and come and see the beautiful chalet, a round hut with thatched roof. I couldn't stay. At least where I was coming from, there was no pit toilet there. So early in the morning, we'll go to the bush, we'll do the toilet, then we'll now go to the river. And we bath early in the morning and we come back. Then we'll go to the farm. I couldn't endure this. I came back home, back to where my parents were. The adventure was a horrible one. It was not a successful one. I started praying. I said, God, what is this? And when I was praying, God opened my eyes and said there was a curse in the family. And truly, there was a curse because I was talking to one of our aunties. And I told her that one day I would become the governor of my state. I just saw everybody in the family laughing. And you know what they told me? We can never be rich in our lives. That thing you are talking about cannot happen. Our lot is poverty. So, I got back home. I prayed. Of course, I was born again, so I prayed. And God opened my eyes and said there was a curse in the family. And what was that curse? So it meant that we were living in a season of curse. So if you don't know, you will accept poverty the way it was in my family. And he said the curse is supposed to go from the first generation to the fourth generation. And I was in the second generation, meaning that I will be poor my entire life. My children will be poor. Their own children will be poor. And by the time you are through, the family is already used to poverty, so it may even extend to the fifth generation. So I started praying. I said, God, spare me. Spare me, O Lord. And God told me. It was supposed to be the normal course. But God said, I was going to take you from this second generation to the fifth generation. So your life is starting from now onward as a person that is in the fifth generation, meaning that he just took me. And I became, or I am now the patriarch of blessing of this fifth generation. So from my own generation now, it's going to be blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Now imagine I did not know God, I did not pray, and God did not say anything. What will happen? I will still be a Christian. I will go through the course throughout my life. Then I will be saying, God cannot, you know the way God, these messages, when they come and preach to you about deliverance or anything, no, it doesn't work. Probably it was in those days. Praise the Lord. I don't know what, probably you have discovered something in your life that is abnormal and has lingered for a very long time. I want you to go back to your closet and ask God why. I will give us another story. And this time around, It is the story of my wife and their own family. Well, I prayed. Let me just finish mine. And I said, God, if that is the case, I don't want to be at the mercy of any man. Just have mercy on me. Now that you have given me mercy, it's not that I don't need help from men. But if men now say they are the ones that will determine my life after God has delivered me, what am I looking for again? And I say, God, give me rest all the days of my life. I want to live in rest. And I can tell you that I'm always at rest. And that is just the truth. I'm always at rest. I'm happy with myself. Very funny. Very playful. Of course, they know at home how I play. And they know how I play in the office. I'm just at rest. In my wife's family, we also observe something strange. Also a season. Each time people start getting to the age of 50, 60, or thereabout, they die. So, the firstborn in their, not her own immediate family, I mean at the uncle and auntie level, the first child died. It was like a roll call. When the second one was getting close to that age again, or around that age. Of course, our pastor, Pastor Ojewumi, knows this uncle that I'm talking about. Because this uncle, he said a lot of things, because probably it's also his uncle somehow. I came to Ibadan. I met this particular uncle. We were serving there. He was in his early 60s. He just died. Another auntie of hers, next to that one, around that age too, he just died. The next one again, around that age, he also just died. Just like that. Then it was now the turn of my father-in-law. We all knew what was at stake. We knew that something was going to happen terribly to this man. When the man saw that it was his own turn, he summoned all the children who were born again, all of them. We all came with their in-laws. We all got that. And he said, look, it is now his turn. We must pray. So he prayed, and we prayed. We all took time to pray, and we prayed. When we prayed, he changed his name from Ogunbiyi to Olubiyi, and we all left. 2 years later, the younger brother died around that age. So can God tweak your season? Yes, God can tamper with your season if you call on Him. Today, my father-in-law is 80 years old, or 81 years this year. None of his family members attained 70. Why? Because he discovered that there was something wrong. You know, I was telling you that if you are blind, if you are deaf, and you are dumb to your season, things will happen to you. Whose fault is it? And you are even a Christian. So you'll be shortchanging yourself if you cannot discern what is happening in your own time. Why must you go into a business and then things are just bad and you cannot tell, including myself, that what is really happening in this business? And if you discover it, God is merciful. Can't you pray the prayer of Jabez? You can. God can, for your sake, stop time. We saw it in the scripture when the war was going on, Joshua prayed. Is it possible for the earth to stop spinning on its axis and rotating just because one man prayed? One, he prayed. He said, God, you must give me victory. This thing must stop until I win. So God can, for your sake, do some mysterious things. Another one, a king, after committing where it was supposed to be an unpardonable sin that would lead to his death, when God told him, he started praying and praying, and God sent back the prophet and said, okay, I'm adding another 15 years. You can stop a lot of things from happening. Even if there is famine in the country, we have seen where the crews did not cease. We have also seen where birds were bringing meat for the prophet. Other people may enjoy famine in the land, but for me, it cannot be so. Praise the Lord. I want you to tell yourself that it will not be so with me. It will not be so with me. God forbid. Bible says when there's a casting down, there's what? Lifting. The nation may be weeping. Of course, we have seen a lot of terrible things happening these days. People with car are now jumping, climbing Okada, you know, entering keke. That is not our portion in Jesus' name. God will not allow it to happen. God will open doors for us. We will not eat of the evil of the land. In Egypt, firstborns were dying. There were plague. But in Goshen, what happened? It did not come near them at all. But let me tell you that Goshen is not the ultimate for us. The promised land is far, far, far better than Goshen. So don't just desire to have Goshen in your life. Praise the Lord. I have a lot of scriptures to read, but I feel that the message we want to pass across has been passed across. And I will conclude by saying that seasons are created by God, like we know. Therefore, we must have this spiritual insight into the purpose of God for each season, so that we can get the right direction and maximize the benefits. So, it is clearly a spiritual responsibility placed on us as people of God to understand the times and the seasons. And the reason is because you have direct access to God. Don't shortchange yourself. God bless you.